Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to episode 16 of the Golden Goal Podcast. Javi, my lovely co-host, could not be here today, so you're stuck with me today for episode 16. He's got some schoolwork to take care of, the nerd that he is, but hey, all the credit to him. He's trying to be the best he can be. So you just got me today. We're going to keep it pretty short because we do have an interview as well in this episode. But the interview will come first. It is the main talking point of this episode. But after that, we'll have some U.S. Men's National Team preview. The U.S. Men's National Team play Cuba on Friday before going on the road to Canada in the CONCACAF Nations League on Tuesday. So two games coming up, competitive games for actual competing for something instead of friendlies for the U.S. Men's National Team. Then we'll go over the Euro qualifying tables. I'm not really going to go into any of the games because there's not really any big ones, but we'll go over the tables and where everyone stands as of this international break. And then we've got a few extra touches for you at the end, but I will turn it over to our interview with forward Madison midfielder Eric Leonard. Enjoy.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Golden Goal Podcast. This is episode 16. We have our first ever guest on the pod today. Unfortunately, guys are just stuck with me today. Javi could not be here. He's got some nerd stuff to take care of with his classes and whatnot. The college life still goes on for him, but we do have our first guest ever today for episode 16. Eric Leonard, midfielder for forward Madison in USL League One. Eric, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Excited to be here.
It's good to have you, man. Yeah, Eric and I actually grew up playing together for quite a few years here in the Chicago area. So him and I have known each other for a while. But for the listeners who don't know you as well as I do, give us your story, man.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Lee. So I'm actually a central midfielder here for the professional club in Madison called Forward Madison. This is our inaugural season, which has been pretty exciting. And this is actually my first year professionally, which is another added bonus. But yeah, like Lee said, I grew up in the Chicagoland area. We played for the same club, Chicago Soccer's FC, since I think around 9 years old. Transitioned into the college environment where I played at Butler University for my 4 years. And then actually took a season and went over to Australia where I played in Division II. And now we're back in the U.S.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I was able to follow you quite a bit when you were at Butler and even when you went overseas there for a little while. But it's good to have you back near close to home, Forward Madison, the coolest team in North America, definitely one of them. Javi and I both have some questions for you, some serious, some on the funnier side as well. If you want to throw a little banter with your teammates, that's cool as well. It's cool with us. I'll start with one of Javi's questions here, though. What does your daily routine look like? Because you said this is your first year as a pro. What does the daily routine look like as a forward Madison player?
Yeah, so they're pretty similar throughout the week, especially with our weekend game basis. So it kind of starts off, we have morning practices from around 10 to 12. So what that entitles is, you know, getting up around 7:30, 8 o'clock, getting into the locker room by 8:45, 9:15. We usually have video before the practice starts. And then after the practice, that there's probably video as well after in terms of getting ready for the game on the weekend. I'm also enrolled in school still. I'm getting my master's right now, so that actually takes up a lot of my afternoon. So I'll usually end up going to a Starbucks around 2:30, getting work done. And one of the cool things about Forward Madison is that we do a lot of community-based stuff with helping out, volunteering. So a lot of the times during the week, I'm usually over at schools or I'm working clinics, anything kind of just show our faces and to kind of give back to all the fans.
Well, yeah, that's cool. I think that's definitely important, especially as a team like Forward Madison, first year, inaugural season. In a bit of a smaller market in Madison, Wisconsin, where Wisconsin doesn't have a professional soccer team yet up until this year. So getting faces out in the community, I think, is definitely important. And then in terms of, you know, Ford Madison, first year, USL League One, first year in existence, how would you say, like, how did you end up with Madison? Because you were overseas in Australia for a little while and you came back, and how did that all pan out?
Yeah, so after Butler and, you know, the MLS draft didn't go exactly how I planned it, it's, you got to make some tough decisions, right? That's finding the defining moments of who you want to be and how, like, what you want to do with your life for the next couple of years. And I realized that if I wanted to play in the U.S., I really had to get noticed somewhere first. So that was kind of what took me over to Australia. I had a couple contacts over in the Gold Coast, so I ended up playing there. Making a decent name for myself, which attracted some attention back here from a lot of the USL League One coaches. Peter Wilt, who is the founder of Chicago Fire in the 11, he got into contact with me regarding the invite trial that Ford Madison was going to be hosting. And that's where, I met Daryl Shore and ended up performing well at the invite, and Daryl ended up seeing me a little bit more back in the Chicago area when I was training with Bridges, which is a semi-pro team that does a lot of stuff in the offseason. And that's where, you know, we kind of clicked, and, you know, I ended up deciding that Madison would be my home for the next 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, that's awesome. I had a feeling Peter Will had played a part there because, yeah, like you said, was the original founder of the Fire, Indy 11. And he's from Milwaukee, and he's had a lot of action done in the Chicago soccer scene. So have you become close with Peter, you know, even before you became a professional?
Absolutely. And you look at what he's done with a team like Madison. He's such a people's person. You see him at all the games. He's there tailgating. He's there getting everyone riled up. And he's also there at our practices as well. So you get to see a lot of him on and off the field, which just shows his support and his willingness to be there for the team, which overall, you know, he's just such a great guy.
Yeah, Madison couldn't have asked for a better person to help upstart their team in their first year, because that's exactly how he was with the Fire back in the day as well, when he served as a GM. And now he serves as, I believe, president of operations for Madison. Is that right?
Absolutely. And you look what he's done with the team so far. We already have, you know, the top fans in the USL League One, and we're competing for teams top 10 in the USL Championship as well. So it's just been such an exciting year with him as well.
Yeah, and that's a good segue talking about the fans and that environment there. You know, I've been to a couple games up to watch you a couple times. I know some other people from the area have been up there as well. It's a great environment, definitely the best in the league. So what would you say is probably your one, you could list a few best memories from the inaugural season so far? Obviously, it's not over, but
one of my favorite memories is the first time we beat North Texas home. Everybody knows North Texas are the top of the league. They finished the conference on top, and it's, you know, just such a memorable event that in front of such a large home fan bases that we were able to beat them. And, you know, not only celebrating with the fans, but during the game, you can just hear how supportive, how, you know, into enthusiastic they are during the game. And it really, believe it or not, it really does make a difference. It shows us that they're here to support us. And, you know, the best way that we can support them is giving them a win. I'd say that's my number one. My other favorite memory is actually from not too recent ago. Last week, happened to be my birthday, October 5th, and we ended up playing one of the most important games of the season against Lansing, Michigan. Had to travel up there, and basically it was, you know, do or die. If we won, we clinched that last playoff spot, and if we lost, we had to, you know, it was in the other hands of the other teams in the league. And not only did we win the game, but we had over 150 plus of our fans travel up to Michigan, all supporting us there. They brought the drums, they brought everything, and it was just such a cool feeling to have a team that supports you even on the road. I don't think many teams offer that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember seeing on their Instagram page the number of fans that made it up for that game. Obviously, like you said, there was playoff implications on the line. It was do or die. But the fact, I mean, Lansing's not a close drive from Madison. So to see that many fans get out there to support you guys and the voices that they brought, obviously pushed you guys to victory, and that was huge. going off of that, because you mean Lansing top of the league right now, as well as North Texas, you had mentioned. Well, this is one of Javi's questions. Which either team or player in the league right now, or maybe this could be even when you played in Australia, most talented player you've played it with or against?
You know, it might sound a little biased because he's on my team, but one of the most skilled players in the league, and I think most technical players I've ever played with, and sometimes have to against in training, would probably be Josiel Nunez. Not only a quality player, but he's had international experience with his Panama national team, and he's someone that I know, Lee, you've been to a couple games, but his fluidity on the ball, he's smooth. He has this ability to beat one-on-one defenders and know all the space on the field at the same time. He's just someone that you want on your team, and he's not someone you want to have to defend against.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to see him a couple times. Yeah, he looks like a threat going forward for you guys. Definitely smooth on the ball, great technical ability, and I think he's been definitely been a big player for you guys this year. Yeah. In terms of, I mean, it's a small league, you know, USL League One, still only in their inaugural season, so you've played the same teams quite a few times, more than you would in most leagues. Any places around the league harder to play than others?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, going to Chattanooga has always been tough. They have a decent fan basis, and playing away in a different climate, you know, both times that we went there, it was super humid. So we had to fight against that. The turf was a little different than, you know, our turf, and it just little things that you would think that aren't big end up being, you know, factors that as players, you really have to kind of stay focused. And that's where the mentality side comes into play. The other team that I would say is always tough to play against is Lansing, just because their field is shared with a baseball field. So part of the overlap between the outfield comes onto the actual soccer field. So sometimes there are divots that, you know, can really affect the ball movement and the play of where the ball should have been, but ends up going. So it's just, you know, little things in terms of a field that, you know, kind of become an important factor in the game.
Definitely. Yeah. I've seen that Lansing field. The Fire actually have a goalkeeper on loan there, so I've seen a couple of their games, just bits and pieces, and it's not the greatest, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What else we got? This kind of on a personal level, favorite team besides Forward Madison, obviously, whether it be Premier League or here in MLS, what have you.
I'm a City fan, actually. Manchester City. I grew up going to a lot of MLS teams, and my parents made the trip over to England, and we decided to catch our first game when I was around 10, 11 years old. It was a Fulham versus Manchester City game. So I actually got to see Dempsey play for Fulham, but that's kind of when I fell in love with Manchester City, back in the Yaya Toure days when Tevez was up top. So became a big fan. You've got the Kevin De Bruyne, the Vincent Kompany in the back. It's, you know, it's a team that's tough to beat. So it's definitely my favorite one.
That's awesome. You got to experience that, especially when Dempsey was there. That was a great Fulham team for sure. Let's see what else. Also, on a personal level, with the guys on your team, got a funniest guy on the team, best dancer. What else we got? Funniest, weirdest experience to happen during your time in Madison, either with the team or on a personal level.
Of course, I got some good ones for you. Funniest guy on the team, Ryan Coulter, hands down. He's our goalie. He's actually our goalie and the goalie coach as well. So I get to see him on two different levels. He's my away trip roommate, and he is the best at giving banter on our team. He's Irish, so his accent comes out a little bit when he's starting to give it to you. And he's just someone who, you know he'll always bring the heat when it comes to jokes. And it's a great experience being on such a veteran team, because, you know, a lot of the guys have taken me under their wing. But Ryan Coulter is someone that he never fails to make you laugh. And that kind of segues into the best dancer, which is kind of funny, because I think he's almost up there with with Ryan Coulter in terms of laughing, but I don't think he does the laughing on purpose. That would be Brandon Eaton. Brandon Eaton is probably my closest friend on the team, and he's someone who, you know, regardless of the day, he's always got a smile on his face. But listen, this guy thinks he can dance. I'm going to say whether or not he actually can. He does have some good moves, and I think the other guys on the team would say that he can always give you a laugh. So in terms of those two, I'm really strong on those two categories. What else you got for me?
So you said Ryan. I got to follow up. Ryan Coulter, the goalkeeper, is also the goalkeeper coach. How does that work?
Yeah, so it's the best because I get to see him when he's playing and he's taking charge on the field in terms of, you know, shouting, communication stuff. But I also get to see the stress that becomes behind the scenes in, you know, planning, because as a goalie coach, you have to plan your goalie sessions, right, for practice every week. That means he has to have in mind two other goalies that he's focused on. And I get to see on away trips every time when we're laying in the hotel room and he's making his videos and his session plans, you know, the mistakes he makes and when he gets upset. He actually, he's going to kill me that I told you this, but he has a GoPro, right, that he brings out to practice every day. Now, what he doesn't know, unless he's actually watched every minute of the video, is that once a day when he's not looking, a lot of the guys, we end up going and saying things on the video. We mess around a little bit on the GoPro. So if you looked back at all the video, I'm sure he's got some quality live feed of some of us giving him some pretty good jokes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And of course, you guys have the partnership with Minnesota. So you've had Dane Sinclair and a couple other Minnesota United players come on loan that were rookies this year in MLS.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been, you know, along with Dane, we've had Carter Manley, who's been, he's an outside back, and Wyatt Amsberg, who's a center back. They've been with us more regularly than Dane, and the two of them have just been fantastic for us in terms of production and, you know, our overall team atmosphere.
That's great. And then in terms of that partnership, I know you guys had an exhibition game with them, but does Madison foresee that continuing? And maybe, I don't know when this partnership occurred exactly, but did that play a part in your decision to come to Madison with the chance that maybe, you know, Minnesota United could be a next step?
Yeah, I don't know in terms of the final output of next year with Minnesota, the partnership, but I will tell you that, you know, it definitely did have an impact in coming for Madison. One of the main reasons I came was, obviously, Daryl Shore has a lot of experience. He's someone that not only knows guys in the leagues, but his player management skills and his ability to coach and make a team to its full potential is, you know, up there with the best. So I did, as a younger player, I wanted to be under someone who I knew I'd be able to develop, right? But two, yeah, absolutely. I'd be lying if I said I didn't have aspirations to continue to get up to the MLS. So I haven't been able to get up there with them this season, but it's definitely a goal of mine to, you know, maybe get invited to a preseason in the future and, you know, to see where it takes me.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see what else we got here. Yeah, so you've been playing a lot this year. You started almost every game, playing the full 90 nearly every game. How has it been adapting? I know you had the brief stint in Australia, but overall, how has it been adapting from the college game to the professional game?
Yeah, it's a lot faster, and you're playing with smarter guys on the field. You look at the team that I'm on right now. Most of these guys have played either in the MLS or in top divisions throughout the world, and it's something that as a center midfield, I've had to really adapt quickly. Especially as a defensive mid, your usual defensive mid who gets on the ball, kind of controls the play, the ball movement. I've had to adapt into that role even more than I had to in college because I'm playing with guys who expect the ball at their feet, who expect the ball at the right foot, the correct foot to turn and go forward. And those little details are stuff that become very fine at the professional level. Especially playing with such a veteran team, these are things that the guys expect, and it's been such an awesome experience for me because playing with the best guys, you obviously improve. and the amount of minutes I've been able to get this year, I've been able to improve mentally on the field. And I would say that with that, my confidence has improved as well, which is, you know, hopefully going to continue to raise my level of play in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think when you get to this level, regardless of what professional league you're in, confidence is definitely a big factor. And like you said, those little details that maybe aren't as important and maybe get overlooked at the college game, but those little details are also more important once you get to the professional league. So I could definitely see how that would be a factor. This is kind of a question, kind of open-ended, but obviously, like we said, USL League One, this is their inaugural season. There's only, is there 18 teams or 10 teams this year? Something like that.
Yeah, I believe 10 or 11 teams.
So we've got Omaha and Nebraska coming next year, as well as a couple teams, I think, from USL Championship dropping down. And then just announced today, New England Revolution are going to have New England Revolution 2, as well as David Beckham's team is going to have a USL team in this in USL League One. Right. So my question for you is, you know, obviously these are going to be teams that are kind of, I guess you could say, reserve teams for their MLS teams. But, you know, my question for you is, are there any smaller markets, maybe like Madison, throughout the country that you think would be able to have a USL League One team?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting with the expansion, because you got to look at, you know, what teams have the MLS teams that feed into. I was always curious in terms of St. Louis. I know they're talking about having an MLS team. I thought St. Louis, I know they have a USL team, a championship team, but I thought that they might have an even another level, you know, at the USL League One, just because of the fan base that they get and the amount of soccer. I mean, growing up in the Midwest, we know that the demand for soccer increases every year. And it's just something that a city who I always thought for each league, a team. I think it's interesting for Omaha. I'll be curious to see how their team does for sure in terms of production, but also fan bases. Because when you think about forming a new team, it all is based not only on money, but, you know, your community. Are you going to have a community that's going to get behind you? Are you going to have a community that supports you, who's going to be willing to travel on the road to the games? And I think that if you look at a lot of the USL League One teams, I think a lot of them have that in the Midwest, but a lot of the other teams that have MLS feeder teams kind of lack that. So if you look at a team like FC Dallas, right, their feeder team is North Texas. Every time we've gone to play in North Texas, you know, the stadium's been rarely full. It's empty most of the time. And I think that when you come here, it's such a hard place to play at, because we have all the fans, we have the community support, and we have everyone backing us. So in terms of expansion, I know I kind of went around your question a little bit. I just think it's so important for these teams coming down. If they really want to last, they're really going to have to get people behind them to support them, because it makes the difference. It really does.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because my thought process on it is, you know, these teams who have these MLS teams who have these feeder teams, they get like you said, they get like no one out to the game because they put B or two behind the team name, and like no one wants to. It's not appealing. But you have a team like Forward Madison. They play in this nice intimate stadium, brand new team. No, there's no other team like it in the market and all that stuff. That's unique. And I think Omaha could do the same thing. I've also heard whispers about Portland, Maine, and Des Moines, Iowa also being considered as well. So I'm kind of more on the side of, let's get more teams like Madison and more teams like maybe Omaha can be. And maybe we put the feeder teams in smaller markets, but still make them affiliated with their MLS clubs, if that makes sense.
Des Moines is a big one because, I mean, as you know, as you played in college as well, Des Moines Menace was always a very, very strong PDL team.
Right.
And I think there's someone that always attracted fans regardless of their standings. And I think that they could be, like you just said, the smaller teams kind of growing into these larger ones. I think Des Moines is a fantastic city to start a USL League One team in, for sure. Couldn't agree more.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to see what happens with USL League One in terms of how quickly it grows and which markets get teams, because I think Omaha, they did their little logo reveal the other day, and I think they could be, if they could really mimic some of the things that Madison has done in their first year, I think they could be a fun team to watch and follow as well. But final question for you comes from Javi here. Would you say you are a hot commodity in Madison?
Oh, a hot commodity. Oh my gosh. Is there like a middle term? Is there like a medium commodity? Like a mild commodity? I wouldn't say it.
You choose your commodity. You describe it.
I'm gonna use it as like, I think I've morphed into a good commodity. That sounds terrible, but I wouldn't say I'm a hot commodity. But you know, right now in terms of our team, we all have an important part that we play. Right, every single person on the 23-man roster. And if you take one of the parts out in terms of hobby, if you take one of those commodities out, you don't get the full product. And I think that's the coolest part about Ford Madison, is that we know that whoever you're going to put on the field, they're going to get the job done. That's what Coach Short talks to us about all the time. He picked a squad of guys that he knew he could trust at any time throughout the season. And I think in terms of me, you know, he knows that when I'm on the field, I'm going to do my best to get the job done, like I said, to the best of my ability. And in terms of everyone on our team, you know, you can't expect anything but that.
That's a good answer. A good, humble answer from Eric Leonard. So there you go, Hav. He is a good commodity, a necessary commodity, and the team needs him, and just as they do with everyone else. So, yeah. So, Madison, guys, that will wrap up our interview. Ford Madison has a playoff game this weekend and the inaugural season of USL League One this Saturday at North Texas in Frisco, where FC Dallas plays. So you can tune into that to see Ford Madison and Eric Leonard play in that game. It's be huge for them. It's just semifinals and finals, correct?
Yep, just two games.
So there you go. Ford Madison inaugural season, two wins away from a title, essentially. So you guys, I believe, have split the series with North Texas. Is that right?
We have. So this will be a very personal game for both teams.
That's awesome. Well, yep, that'll do it for us. Ford Madison, if you haven't followed them on Twitter or seen their social media stuff, they're at Ford MSNFC, one of the coolest teams in North America sports. Definitely worth, even though we're at the tail end of the season here, definitely worth getting out to a game if you're in the area. You can go follow Eric at ericgleonard on Twitter. He's got a huge game this weekend. But other than that, thanks for taking the time, Eric. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, Lee.
Awesome. See you, buddy.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ford Madison midfielder Eric Leonard. He's our first ever guest on the podcast. We were glad to have him. We got some great insight from him on what it's like to be a pro in the newly formed USL League One for one of the coolest teams in North America, Ford Madison. So once again, you can go follow him at Eric G. Leonard on Twitter. You could go follow Ford Madison at Forward MSNFC. Go check them out. They got a big playoff game coming up. But once again, thanks for Eric for being on the show. We can now call him a friend of the podcast. So we will move on here, transition into a little bit more in the episode, a little bit more content. I'm not going to talk too much longer. It is just me today. I will get into the U.S. Men's National Team in the international window here. They've got Cuba this Friday, and Canada on Tuesday on the road. So just a preview, we kind of talked about the roster, Javi and I, in the last episode. Not the best roster that we would have liked to have seen as U.S. Men's National Team fans. Brendan Aaronson really the only new face in there that we haven't seen before. But the likes of Zardes still in there, and Will Trapp as well, and the Tim Reams of the world. Josie Altidore recently picked up an injury, as well as Walker Zimmerman, so they will be replaced by Miles Robinson at center back. I don't believe Josie's going to be replaced. I believe they're just going to go with the two striker options of Josh Sargent and Gyasi Zardes for these two games. But yeah, they start with Cuba on Friday. That one's at home. I'm not sure where that game is at. But needless to say, Cuba is a garbage squad. And I'm expecting nothing less than a 5-0 victory for the United States. They've lost both games to Canada. Have not scored neither of those games. Cuba, they're a terrible side. They were terrible in the Gold Cup over the summer. So the United States should run all over them. I really don't care how they line up in this game. No matter who they play from this roster that was called in, they should destroy them. But against Canada, that's a different story. Canada is a team where they're kind of up and coming. They're really anxious to play the United States. We don't come up against Canada very much. They don't play... They don't often make it to the hex in terms of World Cup qualifying, but in recent years, they've really brought some serious talent into the national team, both some young guys and some veterans combined. Alphonso Davies made that transfer to Bayern Munich not too long ago as well, and they had a decent showing in the Gold Cup, Canada, and if the United States aren't careful and they go into this game nonchalantly, there could be a lot of upset U.S. men's national team fans, to say the least. But going into this game, they definitely should not take Canada lightly. Like I mentioned before, this is a competition now. These games actually count for something. These aren't just friendlies. So these games do need to be taken seriously, and to some extent. If I'm Greg Berhalter, this is how I'm rolling out. Stefan in the goal, that's an obvious one. I'm going Yedlin on the right. Center backs, I'm really not too sure on. I'm really wishing that John Brooks could be in this camp. He is injured. But for center backs, I'd probably go with Miazga and Aaron Long. I really like Miazga. I think he's got a lot of potential to be a big-time center back for the national team. Aaron Long still has a ways to go, but he also has promise as well. And then as for left back, that's always a question mark. I guess if I had to pick someone, can't be Tim Ream. Can't be Tim Ream. If we're going to use Tim Ream, he's got to be as a center back. I don't know why we keep using him as a left back. He plays center back for Fulham. Game in, game out for them. And he actually plays better as a center back, obviously. And he plays well for them, actually. But he is 30-plus years of age. He's not going to be in the next World Cup cycle, or at least he shouldn't be. So I guess I'd have to go with either Nick Lima or Daniel Lovitz. I mean, neither of them are anything special, but that's all we have right now. Dest isn't in this camp, and until they find another left back, that's all we got right now. So that's how I start along the back line. Unfortunately, I would start Michael Bradley. I do like Jackson Ewell. I think he played really well against Uruguay in the last international window. But it's only one game. And like I said, this game counts for something. So I would start the experienced Michael Bradley. And then McKenny in there as well. I'd start Jordan Morris on a wing with Christian Pulisic. I would start Sargent up top. I would have started Josie in this game, but he did pull up with that injury. But Morris and Pulisic on the outsides, and then who else in the midfield there? Who do we have? McKenny, Bradley, and I guess Christian Roldan. I guess that's all we got. Or let's go with Letget. So Letget, Bradley, and McKenny in the midfield. And then, yeah, that's how I start against Canada. You could bring Areola off the bench. Tyler Boyd off the bench, or Corey Barrett off the bench. That's a lot of pace. Maybe, depending on how Aronson, I'm assuming they'll play Aronson in this game against Cuba, depending on how he looks against Cuba. Maybe you bring him in, depending on how the game is going. I don't know if that game, I would assume that game is going to be played in Toronto. But that'll be an interesting test for the national team. Canada, I can see being a part of that hex in the next World Cup cycle. So we will see how that plays out for them. They're going to bring a strong side, and it'll really be interesting to see the strides that Canada has taken as a national team in recent years. But yeah, that is it for the U.S. men's national team preview. Greg needs a win. I mean, Greg needs two wins. Obviously, they should roll over Cuba. A statement win against Canada would definitely put fans at ease, given how the last window went, as well as the Gold Cup. So, and then as we're for Euro qualifying, we've got some of that going on this week. I'm not really going to talk about any specific games because there's not really any big ones that stand out. But Euro 2020, this qualifying is for. That starts, that is tomorrow. We've got games tomorrow, Thursday, that would be. Let's take a look at the groups here. England, Czech Republic in Group A. England staying perfect 4-0-0. They did have that wild game against Kosovo in the last window. They play host Czech Republic. I would expect both of those teams to ultimately make it through that group. Group B, Ukraine and Portugal in those top two. Those top two spots, Portugal have a game less played. Ukraine 4-1-0. Shout out to Alexander Shinchenko from Manchester City, man. 11 goals for, 1 against in 5 games for Ukraine. So they could be a sleeper to make it to the Euro this year. Top of their group. Then we go to Group C, Germany and Northern Ireland tied on 12 points each, both 4-1, but I don't believe they've played each other yet. Yes, they did. Germany beat Northern Ireland last game 2-0. They still have to play each other once more. Netherlands have a game in hand. I would expect Germany and the Netherlands to come out of that group. Northern Ireland, I expect them to peter out. Group D, Ireland and Denmark, top of the group with Switzerland right there with a game in hand. That's tough. Denmark and Ireland are kind of similar squads. I do think Denmark overall the better team with the more depth, and for sure, I would expect them and Switzerland to make it out of the group. And then Group E, Croatia and Slovakia, and Hungary also in the mix. I'd expect Slovakia and Croatia to ultimately make it out of that one. Wales and Gareth Bale do have a game in hand. They're at 6 points. Hungary and Slovakia at 9. So don't necessarily rule them out. But Croatia's a good side. They made it to the World Cup final a year or so ago. So I'd expect them definitely to get through alongside Hungary, Slovakia, Wales maybe. I don't know. Those teams all pretty even. And then as for Group F, Spain and Sweden, and then Romania and Norway are both right there. That could be an interesting group. Poland, Slovenia, and Austria, kind of tight in Group G and Group H, France, Turkey, Iceland, and then Group I, Russia and Belgium running away with it, and then Group J, my Italians and Finland, 1 and 2, and then you got Armenia, which Finland's been a decent side. I expect them to actually go through maybe over Greece and Bosnia. That's, wow, Finland could be a shock qualifier. So, yeah, those games tomorrow and Friday, not something I'm going to go out of my way to watch by any means, but something to check out if you're bored to death, I guess. But, yeah, then we've got some extra touches for you here. We talked with Leonard earlier about USL League One expansion. Union Omaha, a new team for USL League One. They released their crest this week. It's pretty badass. Honestly, it's an owl. Union Omaha, they'll be in the league next year. Hopefully they can replicate a lot of what Ford Madison has done, this season. They seem like they're going to have a nice community around their club. Eric kind of mentioned how that has been vital for Madison in this first season. So the matter of how much community that they can gather around that club, Omaha, a team with no professional teams, just like Madison. Perhaps that's somewhere where it can be replicated. So that'll be interesting to see. Also announced just today, New England Revolution will have a USL League One team next season, Revolution 2, which I cannot stand that. Please be gone with all the 2 and B teams, for God's sake. enough is enough. You're not attracting any fans by naming a team your B team or your 2 team. So try to get a little bit more creative with those. And then as well, in addition to the Revolution 2, David Beckham's team, Inter Miami, will have a team in USL League 1 in their inaugural season. So that'll be interesting to see. Hopefully, with Inter Miami playing their first couple seasons in technically Fort Lauderdale, if they're creative, they'll at least call them Fort Lauderdale something instead of Inter Miami 2 or Inter Miami B. I swear to fuck, if they call them Inter Miami 2 or B, it's really going to grind my gears. But yeah, them, Revolution 2, Union Omaha, all getting teams next year in USL League 1, third tier of American soccer, right below USL Championship. So that league is going to be growing. I believe some teams from the USL Championship might be expected to join, dropping down. So some of those MLS affiliate teams like LA Galaxy 2, they might be expected to drop down for next year. So that league is going to be growing pretty quickly. And then another extra touch for you guys. Petr Cech is set to grab a stick and maybe cross-check some people. He's going to be playing hockey this weekend. That's right. You heard that right. Petr Cech, the goalie for Chelsea and Arsenal, a lot of years as a professional, as a top-quality goalkeeper, is going to be playing ice hockey come this weekend. He's going to be playing for the Guildford Phoenix. I guess there is a hockey league in England, unbeknownst to me. Age 37, he's going to make his debut this Sunday for the Guildford Phoenix. What is life? What has... I mean, I guess it's transferable. One go to from a soccer goalie to a hockey goalie. Different sized. I got a little puck compared to a much larger ball, but bigger net compared to a much smaller net. But I'm interested to hear seeing how that goes. So that'll be something to look out for, seeing how that goes for him at 37 years old. And then lastly, probably the biggest. The biggest drama we've seen, and it comes off the field from non-players, it comes from Wayne Rooney's wife, folks. Wayne Rooney's wife, Colleen Rooney, put on Twitter today that she revealed that for quite some time now, someone, unbeknownst to her, has been leaking stories to the Sun newspaper of her private life. She says, There has been so much information given to them about me, my friends, and my family, all without permission or knowledge. After a long time of trying to figure out who it could be for various reasons, I had a suspicion. To try and prove this, I came up with an idea. I blocked everyone from my viewing Instagram stories except one. Those on my private account must have been wondering why I haven't had stories on there for a while. Over the past 5 months, I have posted a series of false stories to see if they would make their way to the Sun newspaper. And you know what? They did. The story about gender selection in Mexico, the story about returning to TV, and then the latest story about the basement flooding in the new house. It's been tough keeping it to myself and not making any comment at all, especially when the stories have been leaked. However, I had to. Now I know for certain which account it has come from. It's Rebecca Vardy's account. I have saved and screenshotted all the original stories, which clearly show just one person has viewed them. So Rebecca Vardy, Jamie Vardy's wife, the Leicester City Jamie Vardy, the Vardy party himself, his wife, has been leaking stories of Wayne Rooney's wife to the press for quite some time now, it sounds like, and really giving her what seems like some negative PR. And so Colleen Rooney goes full sleuth mode full Sherlock Holmes on her ass, blocks literally, sounds like literally everyone, from viewing her Instagram stories except Rebecca Vardy, and then leaks some fake stories to see if they find their way to the newspaper, and sure enough, they do. Rebecca Vardy caught red-handed from some superb sleuthing on Colleen Rooney's part. And now, let me bring up her response real quick, because she was scrambling to reply to this, from my knowledge. Really, where is it? Now, she basically says, like, if you suspected this and this was happening to you, you should have came to me. And then she started saying how people have had access to her social media passwords and usernames and whatnot recently. And so she's kind of trying to turn the blame on that, but I don't fucking buy it for a second. Good try, but no way. And so that will be interesting to see how that turns out. So some WAG drama with the soccer wives this week. Wayne Rooney's wife and Rebecca Vardy, Jamie Vardy's wife. So we'll see how that pans out. But that is all I have for Extra Touches. Javi will be back with us next episode. I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Eric Leonard. We hope to have many interviews with other people coming up in the future. But it was great to have him on. You can go follow him at Eric G. Leonard. Go follow Forward Madison at Forward MSNFC. But other than that, we'll see you next time, guys. Enjoy the weekend. That is episode 16. See you later.